Hit it.
Welcome to the Barrel Rollers Podcast, Episode 11, Part 3, Sony's E3 Press Conference. I'm Cody.
I'm Nick.
And we're going to talk... No, I did not introduce you yet.
Okay.
Okay, so as you heard, that's my buddy Tyler. He's a Sony fanboy. He's actually the one who wrote us that horrible email.
I'm not a fanboy. I said that several times in the letter. It just happens to be my console
The moment. Which costs
at
a lot.
At the moment. It's been worth every penny.
So we're gonna talk about Sony today. What's first?
I'll start with the PSP Go.
Yeah, PSP Go. Can you talk about that?
Okay. PSP Go. Yeah, new PSP. It isn't really considered a PSP 2 yet. It's kind of like PSP 1.5, and the reason they call it that really is just because got slide screen, smaller screen, no UMD, different button layout, and looks more like a phone.
And from pictures online, it also looks like Cartman.
Yes, that too. It's shaped in Cartman's head and body.
Yes.
If you put a picture around it.
So what are you going to say, Nick?
I was going to say coincidence.
Yeah, I know, really. But what are some of the new features for this iteration of the PSP?
Well, right now they got Bluetooth, they got 16 gig, not hard drive, but memory,
internal,
I guess.
Internal flash.
Internal flash, there you go. Like the Wii. Expansion slot, sliding, and I think that's all I really know about. If they have any other features, then I don't know about them.
I think one noticeable thing is that there's no UMD slot, which means all of your previous disc games won't work.
Yeah, it seems like Sony's trying to go with a new, different kind of format, which is DLC. And with the DLC, I think it might work. It kind of depends on how well they market it and everything, of course. And I guess one of the biggest concerns right now is that if you already own a PSP, like I do, I have all these PSP games that I love and enjoy. I got GND Arc. I got a few movies, believe it or not. I got Echo Chrome. Bunch of games, you know, I like to play from time to time. But if I was to buy a PSP Go, how would I play them? And right now, Sony hasn't given an answer out yet, but they say that they're going to figure that out, like, sometime before the PSP Go launches.
My guess would be they're probably going to have some sort of like emulator type thing, and you probably just load it in on the flat, on like an SD card that you can put in.
No, because that would be the stupidest thing possible. And
why?
If they did that, okay, that would just be pointless, and that would completely defeat the purpose. Wait, are you saying emulation on the SD card?
No. I mean, like, no. What I meant was that like the PSP Go itself would have an emulator built in, and then you can load the games that you have on the EMD card.
Wait, you're telling me that it's gonna emulate itself? It's still a PSP.
Yeah, but I realize that. But I mean, like, how obviously it's gonna need some software to transcode other games that were made for the disc format.
No, because right now with the one problem that the PSP had was illegal downloading of games. And how that works is that all you need was a PSP ISO or CSO and just throw it on the memory stick and you are good. The technology is technically already there. They just have to prevent the piracy.
Ah, okay.
Right? Like, even I have a hacked PSP and I know how it works.
Yeah, it's just interesting.
Do I download illegal games? No.
It's just interesting that there were... The first system that they would make strictly DLC-based is their handheld. I mean, I guess it makes sense because handheld games obviously don't need as much space as console games do. But I don't know. What do you guys think of going like completely digital on this? I mean, I'm sure eventually all consoles are going to be completely digital, but like, what do you guys think of just kind of taking this huge step right now? Do you think it's like too fast to go all digital right now? All digital downloads?
Well, for the place for Sony's case, I see the PSP Go as a test because it's their first real attempt on complete DLC. And if it fails, then they're going to learn something from it. If it works, it's going to work and they learn something from it. Because, like I said before, it's not technically the PSP 2. And because of that, they can screw around with this. Right now, the PS3 has, and the Xbox and the Wii have their own DLC right now. So I don't see it being too far-fetched at the moment.
Well, I think it needs to be that way because I know we had a story a couple months ago about how Sony PSP developers were just stopped developing for the PSP because it was so easy to pirate and that there was no revenue for them. So I could definitely see them going digital just to get those developers back because it's a lot harder to like hack and pirate games that are completely digital.
Yeah, definitely. But
Especially when you can only buy them from one place, like the PSP store or whatever it's called.
right.
don't know, but I think personally I think it's gonna work. And they've already started it with Patapon 2, although how they did it was they had a UMD version and a DLC version. And they said that they were gonna continue doing this, having a downloadable copy and the UMD. Because they don't want to force everyone to buy a PSP Go just to play these downloadable content games.
Right.
And yeah, I think it'll just work. And I'm just kind of concerned about what's going to happen to things like GameStop and all that, because you won't be able to trade in downloadable games.
So
So
I, true. The used
yeah.
game market's going to completely crash if you go all digital because you can't sell used digital games. That doesn't make any sense.
I mean, technically, you could sell an account, your account, but
Yeah.
that would be more of like you're done with gaming for good, which I hope will never be the case for anyone.
Well, see, I think this, I mean, with places like Steam, the fact that they keep a record of every game you own, I think it actually could be quite easy to like resell the games to Steam and then they give you like a Steam credit. All they would do is just take like that activation out of your account. But with something that
That wouldn't benefit them, though.
I was just gonna say, yeah, Steam wouldn't be making any money.
Oh,
They would
that's
much
right.
rather be selling a new copy of the game at full price than
Right.
a used copy, which is essentially the exact same file for a discount price.
There's unlimited downloadable content. There's not unlimited, like things that you can touch, like discs. You can't. Yeah.
No, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay, but at $250, who is gonna want to go out and buy something that won't even play their old games?
Probably people who broke their PSPs.
Or people that didn't have a PSP in the first place.
That
Yeah, but
too.
if you didn't have a PSP, why would you spend $250 on that when you could buy an Xbox or a Wii?
For the same reason, that's like saying that I'm not going to buy an Xbox 360 because it has no games for it when it first came out, or the Wii or the PS3 for that matter. Its library for the downloadable content, specific games, isn't out there yet.
No,
I
I
think.
understand. I'm just saying, I think that $250 is a lot for a handheld device when you could buy something that has more power and has a better library selection.
I think it really depends on the person. Like, for instance, for me, I like my DS, but the last game I bought was Advance Wars, because Advance Wars is awesome.
It is.
I haven't seen really any eye opener or eye catcher that the DS has released
You know,
since.
I think that's just because there's so many games on the DS, you can't really choose one to be better than the other.
That too. I think having a smaller library has its positives, but it also has its negatives.
Yeah.
But as for price range, there, let's see, so far the most significant things are the Bluetooth, the downloadable flash memory, downloadable games and flash memory, and no UMD. You'd probably think with no UMD it'd be cheaper, but on the other hand, it is also a slider, which I would imagine might be making the cost a little more.
Yeah.
Same with the Bluetooth, but I don't know. Technically, it's as Yeah, it's as expensive as the original PSP.
Was the original PSP
The original
$200?
PSP was $250.
I did not know that.
People bought it. It wasn't the same as the it wasn't the same price as the DS. That's probably why the DS there's a lot more DS units out there. But yeah, I think that's the same thing with the DSi though. It's expensive. But
Yeah, DSi
would you
is
ever
pretty
buy one?
expensive.
Like this is I'm kind of comparing the PSP Go to the DSi. The DSi, it's brand new. It has a few more differences than its predecessors. Is it necessary to buy one? No. Is it necessary to buy a PSP Go when you already have a PSP or one of the iterations? No. But if you need one, you'll probably go with the newer one.
Right.
No, I understand. I'm just saying. I mean, with the DS, the new DSi can actually hold other games. I mean, yeah, there is a difference there, but I can understand where you're going from. I mean, it's
Yeah.
more expensive. It does more crap that you probably don't want it to. Seriously, who needs two cameras?
Yeah.
Who
And
wants to have
also,
an MP3 player on their portable device?
well,
I already got an
yeah.
iPod for that.
Well, guys, we should really move on. I think we talked quite a bit about the PSP.
Next story is Heavy Rain. Now, I have been anticipating this game for a while.
I really don't have much to say about it. I just saw it this E3. I liked what I saw. It seems like a brand new type of gameplay that has been done before in a few games, but not to this level.
I don't think it's been done right before. And
Well, I like how they're going back to the, well, it looks a lot like an old film noir movie. And I mean, games like that haven't been really popular since like the point and click era. So it's like interesting how they're gonna go back to like an old fashioned, well, somewhat old fashioned like detective story like this. And I don't know. It does look really, really cool.
Okay, so for those of you who don't know anything about Heavy Rain, it's a game that's been on development for 3 years, and it's basically like a very CSI-esque game in which you have four main characters, and you play different characters at different times in the game. It's got its own storyline, and you basically have to go around and like solve crimes. I think the opening scene was a Fed trying to look for his partner who kind of went mysteriously missing. And oh no, I'm sorry. There's a killer out, and the killer has affected each one of the main characters in his own ways, and I'm pretty sure that the Fed's sidekick was killed by the killer. So basically you go around playing a detective trying to figure out where the killer is. And there's a lot of cool aspects about this one. It's probably the best looking graphics I've seen in a game in a long time. But what's more interesting is there is no game over. If your character dies, the other character, the story just continues on, like where the other character died, but like where it left off. So I mean, there's a lot of different ways to play this game.
I don't know. I mean, like, it's one of those games that we don't know a whole lot about yet. Really, only a couple trailers have been shown at E3. Obviously, the graphics engine looks really cool, and it has a nice, dark, gritty atmosphere. But I mean, we haven't seen a whole ton of gameplay, or like, we don't know too much about what it's all about. So, I guess we'll just keep looking into it, and we'll find out more as it continues to get developed.
Yeah.
Oh.
Did you have anything to say?
No, not really. I was just gonna say that. I don't know. It does look pretty. It does seem like it's gonna be a very nice anticipating game. And I don't know. I probably get it, I think, because from what I saw, just from the gameplay, it's completely different. You know, it's not something you really see in every day. And I could see it really making a new genre of
Yeah.
games.
Yeah, it really can. There's actually a 20-minute video with demo and commentary from the director on G4. I'll put a link to that in the show notes. But next is Uncharted 2. Now, I saw the demo for this at the live press conference. I was amazed, and it's very interesting. It seems like everything in the game is destructible. Tyler, do you have anything you wanted to give us a synopsis about what it's about?
I don't know a huge amount. I haven't played the Uncharted 1 yet, but I plan on. I played the demo at least. And I'm in the closed beta to Uncharted 2. for the multiplayer, and I got that because I bought Infamous, luckily. And I also saw part of the same demo you were talking about, and from it's made by Naughty Dog, who did, I believe, Crash Bandicoot and all those. And the game itself, I really feel like it's trying to pull you in to like a movie-esque type of game where
It's very cinematic.
Like there is a lot. I mean, I think there are cinematics. I'm not really sure, but it really tries to pull you into the world, and it's got a lot of things that are meant to happen, kind of like Half-Life 2, except because your character is actually, you know, talking and your characters are actually fighting each other, like just yelling at each other and whatever. It's really, really cool in how they just blended it all in together into this really cool experience.
And I don't know. I might be kind of alone on this, but it reminded me a lot of Resident Evil 5, only, like, it was obviously a faster-moving game and, like, much more, your character's much more agile and stuff like that, but, like, the engine and just, I don't know, a lot of the events and, like, stuff that happened in the demo, it just reminded me a lot of Resident Evil 5. I don't know if I'm alone on that. Or...
No, I wouldn't. I think that the point of view and... The basic game mechanics look the same, but...
No, I wouldn't say the game... Maybe the gunplay a little.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
I mean, it's the shoulder view. I mean, all games do that now. Gears of War does it. You know, Red Faction now does it. Infamous does it. You know, I could go on and on. It's a new, different way to play a third-person game, and it works. But I feel you have a lot more control in this game than you would Resident Evil 5, or Resident Evil 4, for that matter.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I mean, the Resident Evil games have never really been known for their controls, but, like, yeah, no, I hear you. It reminds me a lot of, like, Resident Evil 5 / Gears of War 2 or the original Gears of War. Just, like, that over-the-shoulder perspective with a lot of, like you said, like, pre-planned events happening all around you, and it's very cinematic. I thought it was really cool. I was pretty impressed.
Yeah, another thing I'd like to point out, though, is that this game isn't all about shooting. A big chunk of it is actually it's platforming. And that's what I think is really cool, because it's not like from what I played from the first demo and from what I saw from the game demo, the new game demo, it's the puzzles and things like that, they can be all very obvious, but there's other points where it will actually take you time to figure out how to climb from place to place. Because it's not like you're just climbing over stuff. It's you're literally looking for where you got to go. You kind of got to pre-plan everything. And I think it's a really nice change of gameplay mechanics of being able to just get from a firefight and then start scaling a building to climb over some rubble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really looked pretty cool. It looked like everything in the game was somewhat interactive or destructible, which I don't think we've truly seen a game that has done this much effort into that area than this game has. But
it is a very pretty game also. And another thing I'd like to point out that this game has done that haven't been done really in any other games is that if you step in water, your pants will literally get soaked and dry over time. And then that's just one thing. Another thing, too, is that going undercover, for example, Gears of War, when you get in the cover, you're always in that same kind of hunched position, you know, before you fire or anything, and you're just looking around. In this game, you legit have actually – your character actually does different animations to when he's going up against a wall. Like, he won't always be in the same position like you normally would in other games. He'll actually be hunched a little differently. His arm might be in a different place. It's as if you were moving in real life. You don't always – if you're going from cover to cover, say, from, let's say, like a tree, you're never going to be in the same position all the time.
That is really cool.
We really have to move on. Yep. Next story, God of War 3. I think all we really need to do is say that it was announced. I mean –
It was announced during the Spike TV Awards, I believe, or its first trailer was. But they showed a lot more gameplay. They showed an actual demo. Gotta say, it's looking really, really nice. And you know, God of War 2, from what I hear, was amazing. And it seems like God of War 3 is just gonna blow it out of the water. 50 enemies on screen. His actual muscle tone actually changes when he's doing things. And it just absolutely looks ridiculous.
I mean, that's all we really know right now. I mean, other than a couple trailers, nothing's really been announced yet. So, I guess we can move on. This next one, Mod Nation Racers. Now, you were raving about this in the pre-show.
Yeah, Mod Nation Racers is a new, I think it's a first party title for the PlayStation. And it's taken that idea from LittleBigPlanet that you play, you create, and you can share levels and all that good stuff that makes LittleBigPlanet what it is and what makes it such a great game. Doing the same exact idea, but with kart racing. You can customize your character to, like, I hear that there's like over 100 different eyes or something like that. You can modify your carts or whatever. You can, race all that. But the biggest thing that basically made me go wow was its track editor. Its track editor is designed so that you can literally spend maybe 5 minutes in the thing and create something that looks high quality, official, and just looks really, really nice and pretty.
I mean,
That's
yeah.
pretty cool though, because like most track editors, it's just like some crappy preset background, and it's just kind of like, draw a track. But like to be able to like really to make it look really good like that and really customizable and stuff like that, that's pretty cool, not gonna lie.
I mean, we got a video of it, and the person made a professional looking track. I mean, it wasn't the biggest in the world, but it looked like it took months to make in production, and the guy made it in 5 minutes. I mean, and I think what's best about this is most games that like you can actually like make levels and stuff, I without getting hardcore into it, usually only allow you to edit like the layout of it and the tracks and stuff like that. Whereas this, you could actually edit the terrain around it, and you can make like mountains and lakes and like houses and villages around the track itself, which I thought was very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's like it's taking that LittleBigPlanet idea of if you make the tool simple enough that you can make something look complicated, then you really have something good.
Yeah.
And I think that's really the idea that they're having. And the kart racing itself from the actual gameplay, I didn't get too much into it, cause just from the way the camera was, and it did seem kind of like it was a little slow at times. But you have to keep in mind that this game isn't out yet. It's still in development.
Right.
But I'm definitely going to keep an eye out for this game because it just looks really, really nice. And I love my kart racing. I love my regular racing. And what I even love more about those games are those games that let you actually build your own tracks. And the fact that you can share these tracks too are what's going to make this game great, I think.
Obviously, this game is a lot of customization. Now, I was just watching the video a couple seconds ago as you guys were talking. I'm just wondering how the gameplay will be next to, I mean, what is pretty much considered the greatest kart racer and like the original Mario Kart. Do you think like as far as gameplay itself goes, do you think that it has the potential to be as good as, if not better than something like that?
I'm not really sure yet because they didn't really have a whole lot of gameplay. I mean, it had your basic things. Up from what I saw, there was some drifting, there was some weapons. I didn't really see a whole lot of weapons, but they had some objects you can crash into. I mean, you can't really say just from what you've been shown, because I think the main point was just to show the track editor. But from what I saw right now, I'd say not yet.
All
Like
right, yep.
the original Mario Karts, they're perfect in just about every way. Like I'm talking about Super Mario Kart and Mario 64. I don't really care about the other ones. I just like those two personally. But yeah, I think Mod Nation Racer has a chance and it definitely has potential, but it's just a little too early to tell yet.
Yeah, well, I mean, as long as, I mean, the track editor is great and all, but I mean, you need to have gameplay too. But
Yeah.
as long as the mechanics work, I mean, it looks like it could be a really good game and definitely a Mario Kart competitor.
Yeah,
I mean,
definitely.
Crash Bandicoot had its own kart racer. I didn't play it a lot, but it was pretty good.
Yep.
And I think there's games out there that have potential to match the caliber of Mario Kart if you consider that to be the one on top. And I think this game has the chance, but I'm not saying anything.
Well, it's got to be better than Eminem's Kart Racing. So, all right. Well, moving on. Cody, what else do we have?
What is this PlayStation Home press conference?
This was a little snippet I added in. I'm a person who uses PlayStation Home. I don't know. There's a lot of debate of whether it's good or not. Personally, I like it enough to have it as a time waster. And it's just fun because they keep constantly adding stuff each week. And during the E3 press conference, if you saw it, they started talking about how they're going to add in more content, blah, 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 the same stuff that we had before. And it's like, look, we got a trailer. I'm like, great. It was the same trailer that they've been showing in the PlayStation Home world. I'm like, wow, that's really innovative and new. And I just thought that was just really funny that they added something like that. Suddenly they added, I think it came out 2 days ago, you can take pictures off your hard drive and put them in the photo frames for you to put in your house area.
Nice.
But the only catch is that you actually have to buy those photo frames.
Oh.
And I went into the mall, and this is the place where you go to buy, whether it's furniture, clothes, play chess, or see the PlayStation Network's video, which they have playing each week. I walked in, I think it was like 50 cents. You know, it's 50 cents. That's usually how much a piece of clothing costs. Usually 25 cents sometimes a little more, like a dollar. But yeah, I think personally, if you use Home enough, it's pretty cool. I haven't bought one myself yet because the only problem I have with buying a picture frame is that no one enters my house. And that's because I have another friend who uses Home, but not as often as I do. So there really isn't a purpose yet.
Now, I don't think what people understand is to buy this stuff in Home, you actually have to dish out real money.
Yeah, real money. But, I mean, it's not like they're asking for, like, $5 or anything.
No, yeah.
I mean, 50. I bought a snowman head for, I think, 25 cents, 50 cents during the winter. And I won some costume pieces from this game called Echochrome, which is a game that was on the PlayStation, the PlayStation 3 and the PSP. But they made an arcade version in PlayStation Home. And if you got a high score, you get all these pieces to it. I combined that head onto that. I am a walking snowman in PlayStation Home. You've probably seen me if you go to PlayStation Home. It's pretty sweet. But yeah, I mean, it has potential, but they didn't really do anything with PlayStation Home during the E3 conference, and it kind of disappointed me.
Yeah,
I think
okay.
That's really the message I wanted to get across, was that they keep adding stuff, but they didn't really announce anything new.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we should move on to the big story here.
Yep. Yeah, the final story is the new PSI. And I don't mean the letters P, S, and I. It's actually spelled PSEYE.
This is no mind control, mind you.
It is not mind control, although it's pretty damn close. It is a new camera technology. I don't know if it's camera. It's a new controller built with camera for the PS3 that basically mimics the Wii, but it's like the Wiimote on steroids.
If I had to call it something, I would call it a hybrid of the Wii and the Wiimote and Project Natal. It takes the aspect of taking a camera from Natal and then taking the Wiimote from the Wii and combining it. So you have a camera that tracks a remote.
Well, to me, it looked a lot more like – it reminded me a lot more of the original iToy than it did Project Natal. It seemed like – especially like when they showed the guy – when they did the demo on stage and it showed him standing there holding the controller and like it was tracking it. It reminded me a lot of playing the old PS2 iToy games. I don't know, like, how does the game track your movements in three-dimensional, or is it, like, three-dimensional movements, or is it still very 2D like the iToy was?
I think it's three-dimensional, and I say that because in the tech demo that they showed, the guy was actually moving around, like, he was actually legit moving his feet left and right to different corners of the area, and it was actually tracking it. Like, he was literally sidestepping while holding a gun.
Yeah, I did think it was really cool, though. When the guy, when um the on-screen guy holding the wand or whatever you call it, when the wand was transformed into a tennis racket and he started moving around the tennis racket, I was really shocked at that point. That was really, really cool.
Yeah, they
I
did.
almost wonder how practical that is, though.
They did it with a number of things too. I mean, they showed. I think they gave up. They showed a bunch of examples. They had like a stop sign, a baseball bat, a sword, a giant sword, I might add. And oh no, in terms of practicality, can't really say yet, but I could see that it's opened up a new form of potential that neither system has shown yet.
See, the thing I think the thing that might be Sony's greatest advantage with this new technology is that personally, I don't think, I mean, Project Natal is awesome, but I don't think it's necessarily all there yet. It's very like futuristic technology, and I'm not sure exactly how precise it is. And the Wii Remote, with the Wii Motion Plus, I mean, it's pretty precise, but I think that this new way of doing it with the camera and the wand that Sony has, I think it's probably the most precise control of them all. I think the thing can detect where you are down to like the millimeter, and I'm not sure if either of the other two companies have technology that can do that yet.
Yeah, I mean, I think I read an article that Natal actually can do that now. But my greatest concern with Natal, just real quick, is that the fact that you're not holding anything physically, at least of anything that we know yet, I think it's gonna cause a few issues. Like if you're doing a driving game, if I had to pick between Natal or a Wiimote, I would pick the Wiimote because you're holding something.
There's no
Like which
haptic feedback.
Yeah, there's something in your hand and you can feel like you're actually doing something, whereas Natal is you're just holding air.
And plus, like the other thing too is they had this problem with the original iToy, is that if you're not the only person moving on screen, how does the technology differentiate between what are you like what's your movements versus what are somebody else's movements or something happening in the background? You know what I mean? I think that this new PSI thing, because it's a physical controller, that won't be such an issue.
No, I actually
Yeah.
heard that Project Natal can like detect different people and detect what they're doing. So like if you have two people standing next to each other and the other person reaches his hand around the other, it'll actually detect that hand coming out of the side is the actual person's hand. Like it is very smart at knowing what's what and who's who.
They say that, but I still
No,
have.
this is from someone who actually was in a tech demo of it.
But I mean, like Tyler, I think I still have my reservations about Project Natal. I mean, I'm sure by the time it hits market, it's going to be pretty good, but like right now it's still in very beta stages and it's very advanced technology, so we'll see how it turns out.
Right,
It could be
Natal or
expensive as hell.
PSI?
I was talking about Natal, but
Oh.
I mean the PSI, I mean, from what I've seen, it does exactly what it's supposed to do, at least according to the tech demos they showed on stage. So
Yeah.
it should be interesting. This is going to be the war of motion control between the three companies.
Personally, I know, with my whole grasp on motion control, not a really huge fan for it. I'm one of those people who kind of likes to have a controller in their hand and actually do everything by my thumbs, not with my hand motions. Because when you use your thumbs, I feel like it's a lot more accurate than your arm. And you can get a lot more angry at motion control than you can by using your thumbs.
No,
Yeah, I
I feel like that with the previous motion controls, it's been somewhat, I wouldn't say useful, but it's actually been fun. Whereas I think once you get to the point where it is as precise as you, it doesn't, it kind of takes the fun out of it. It's like the uncanny value. The closer it is to actual reality, the less you like it.
Well, what I'm saying
Yeah, I
is,
agree with that.
I think it's still something that's developing. I don't think any of the companies have motion control perfectly nailed yet. Each one is taking a fairly different approach to it, but I mean,
do we want them to perfect motion control?
I don't see a problem with it as long as it's as precise as buttons and a joystick, and I don't think it's quite there yet.
Because like
I think a good way to put it is that this is like basically motion control. The biggest thing it's been is hardcore and casual gamers. Hardcore, they like their controllers. Casual, like the Wii, because there's not a bunch of buttons. You don't got to memorize a lot. It's just your hand motions. I say that this is really similar to when you try comparing people who play PC first-person shooters and controller first-person shooters. You can't please either.
No,
exactly.
I very much enjoy my first-person shooter on the PC, and I think it should honestly stay on the PC.
Well, see, that's exactly what he's saying. Xbox, like, people, they, like, let's say you take, like, Halo, for example, or, like, Call of Duty. It's a game that's available on both the Xbox 360 and the PS3. If you talk to Xbox owners,
it's not on the PS3.
PC. I meant to say PC, not PS3. I'm sorry. If you talk to Xbox owners, they'll tell you how much they like their double joysticks. And if you talk to PC owners, they'll tell you how much they like their keyboard and mouse. It's all a matter of preference, and I think like that's the case with this. The standard controller is like having an Xbox controller versus motion control is probably closer to PC because once it gets developed more, I'm sure it'll be overall more precise than a standard controller. That's not to say that you can't still prefer a regular controller, but I think the comparison is very close.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one thing I kind of really don't like with the Wii. I mean, you have the buttons, but I can't really grasp the motion control all that much. At least, I haven't played a game besides Wii Sports, really, that's made me go, wow, this motion control is used really well.
Metroid Prime was pretty good, though. I will
agree. I haven't played that, but when I played Metroid Prime for the GameCube, I loved the control scheme, despite the fact that it was very different from your regular first-person shooter control scheme.
Right.
And it worked. And I'm not saying that the motion control is going to be... like, I haven't played the Metroid Prime 3 Corruption, but I would imagine that I would probably like it. But my point is that that's just... say I do like it, that's only two games that I've really gone, wow, these are really two games that I love playing with motion control.
Well, I think when it comes to motion control, there are two types of games. There's gimmicky motion controls, and then there's motion controls that are applicable. They immerse you in the game more, and they feel like they really should be there. And there's been a lot of Wii games where the motion control is very gimmicky, especially the earlier games like The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess. Fantastic game, but waving the Wii remote does the exact same thing as hitting a button.
Yep.
So it didn't feel like motion control is really necessary. Where there's like other games out there, like a few of the Wii first person shooters that are like, yeah, well, like this is where motion control can be used for real, and it's more precise than having a real controller.
But I have to agree with the PlayStation 3. It's done the same thing when they announced the six axis controls. Like, full controls to six axis is the worst idea a developer could possibly have. And I stress this point very much.
Right, because it's only tilt sensitive, right?
It's up, down, left, and right, and any diagonals. You can basically just move it around in a circle, kind of, and it detects it. The only problem is that the delay between it is just so significantly horrible that it just drives you insane. Like, for instance, Motor Storm, you have the option to turn on the motion controls to like sensitivity, low, medium, high. I want to turn right. It does it like 0.30 seconds later. Mm-hmm. And it's like it screws you up so much. And also because the six-axis or the DualShock controller just doesn't feel natural as a steering device. It really doesn't, because you have to hold it kind of flat and tilt it left and right. And I think what developers are learning with the PlayStation is that with six-axis controls, you can't map full controls onto it. You can only map it as another button. For instance, I've been lately there's been a few games out there that actually use the 6-axis controls right. Like Resistance, if you're on fire, you shake it. That's awesome. I don't have to sit there and burn for a duration of 5 seconds because that's how long it is. And I don't have to mash a button, which, you know, it just is a waste of buttons to use at the control. I can literally just shake my controller. Bam, I'm not on fire anymore. And then some other games, Kung Fu. There's this Kung Fu game, Ragdoll Kung Fu. Flipping the controller over, legit, not being able to touch any face buttons, meditates you. Then that what that does is heals you. How awesome can that be?
That is really cool.
That's really useful motion control. I think people are learning that with the PlayStation, the regular motion controls, you can only use it as other buttons and other uses rather than mapping a use to another button and waste space.
Right, exactly. So, like, that's kind of like what I was saying, and I think that's like what Nintendo's trying to avoid by introducing like the Wii Motion Plus, because now companies don't have an excuse anymore just to say, well, like, oh, it's not precise enough, so we're just going to use it like a button. You know what I mean? It's a waste of time if you're just going to do that. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, with the Wii's case, it doesn't work, but I think with the PlayStation 3, that what I just explained works very well, and it really does give the controller and everything about it some justice.
Yep. Well, I guess, Cody, you have anything to say?
No, I honestly think we've covered everything.
All right.
Yeah.
So I think that wraps up our E3 coverage.
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
Thanks for listening.
Tyler, thanks for coming on.
No problem, anytime.
And I think that's going to be it. We'll see you guys later.
See you later.
Goodbye.